This morning, the passage is one that struck me this week, right? It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse 5, right? And this is from the Apostle Paul. What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. I was blown away by the thought of verse 9, for we are God's fellow workers. All right, here's the God that he speaks and a star comes into existence. He blows on dust and Adam steps up, right? That God who could do anything he wanted would choose to work through us. But the Lord has, he's got a great sense of humor sometimes. And that this morning I'm driving to church and I'm at the intersection of 15th Street and State Road 70. Top down, Moody Radio on, and I'm cruising. I get to the stoplight and sneeze fairly loudly. A fellow on the side of the road who's holding, you know, a sign, please help, says, God bless you. And I thank him. Now, I'm in the left turn lane, four lanes away from where he is, right? And I think the light's about to change, and the Lord taps me and says, you really should do something for him, right? And, you know, with those that are, you know, on the side of the road like that, you know, I feel sorry for all of them. But in some cases, by giving them money, you're just enabling them. And that's why I wait for prompting from the Lord. But it's like, Lord, the light's about to change. Lord, I can't hold up traffic. And so the light changes, and I turn, and the Lord's still bugging me. And so I turn around, go back, and, well, the fellow's gone. What I take from that is that, you know, we're the Lord's co-workers. And in this case, I dropped the ball, quite honestly. And the Lord used this to touch me, and I don't say that to put any condemnation on anyone here in that, but to encourage you to learn, you know, from, frankly, my mistake this morning, that when the Lord calls us to be a co-worker, we miss an opportunity. You know, we don't want to miss an opportunity by debating with him, thinking of excuses. And that's my testimony this morning. Would you all stand and join me in prayer? Father God, we thank you that you did create us, Lord, and we're amazed by the fact that you would want to co-work through us. And Lord, we know it's not we're not responsible for the results. The results are yours. You actually do the work, but you choose in so many cases to do it through us. And so, Father, I ask that you'd help me, you'd help all of us, to be your hands and feet today, this week, Lord, not only for the blessing that it would be to others, but the encouragement it is to us to see you work, Lord, and to be able to say, wow, I was there when the Lord did this. Lord, I ask this morning that you would use this time to enlighten us, Lord, to encourage us, to energize us, and be there through the worship time. Lord, let it be pleasing in your sight. And speak through Pastor Darren this morning. And we thank you for all that you're going to do in the name of our Savior Jesus. And all God's children said,
amen. Good morning, everybody. Well, please stay standing if you can. We're going to sing, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. Isn't that right, his name? Thank you, Jesus, Father God. Thank you, Jesus.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Every day, Father God, come into our hearts in a new way, Lord Jesus. Draw us close to you. Oh, Father God, we're nothing without you. Thank you, Jesus.
This is my desire.
Have your way with us, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you.
In the book of John, in chapter 1, it says about Jesus, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Thank you.
last song today is Jesus, We Love You. And as we're singing this, as with all the songs, my prayer is that it would be our prayer that we are just worshiping God and praising Him, telling Him how much we love Him. Thank you for His sacrifice. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
you and praise you for your gift. Thank you for those believers that are here today. Lord God, we pray for those that were not able to be here today. We pray for those that traveling or whatever they're dealing with, Lord Jesus. Sickness, health, whatever it is, Lord God, I pray that you would draw them close to you. In Jesus' name. We pray for Darren and for the remaining of the service that you would be glorified and praised. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Big Daddy Weave. Thank you, buddy. Perfecto. Thank you. Mark, I know this is hard to believe, but I remember you wanted to say something.
Yes, I did.
You want to come up here or you want to do it back there? I can give. Before we get started, thanks.
We're going to see a slide up here about name tags. And I just wanted to let everybody know that we've got a lot of new folks coming. And the purpose of a name tag and the purpose of the body of Christ is so that we can know and be known, so that we can hear and be heard, and so that we can love and be loved. The first part of that is knowing who you're talking to. And the way to do that is by putting on a name tag so that we can know who each other is, love and be loved by them, and know and be known to them.
Thanks, Mark. Mm-hmm. All righty, kids. Well, let me first say now, you made it. Now, I want you to look around this morning, because I thought about this, and I'm not sure if this was just for me, and that's a possibility, but I had so many people this weekend, last night, and this morning, oh, Pastor, I'm sorry, I won't be able to make it, oh, we're not dead, oh, and that's, and sometimes those things are absolutely true and unavoidable, but there were so many that kept happening. Actually, this morning, I stopped answering the phone. I have to put it down. And I thought, as I was getting ready, I thought, that is an unbelievable amount of people that are texting me. So that, now that could be a coincidence. It absolutely could be a coincidence. With that being said, though, I personally think that the Lord has a message. So I tell you this for two reasons. One is, God has a message for you today. And if you made it here, especially if you were fighting it, then God has a specific, special message for you. And part of what we're going to talk about is resisting the devil. And whenever I talk, whenever I talk about two things, the Holy Spirit, and whenever I talk about spiritual warfare or resisting the devil, and you can log it, this is what happens. Almost every time. So I tell you this to say, not to guilt or to shame anybody, because there's people who are away, there's people who are sick and they're going to the hospital. There's a lot of legitimate things that are happening. But I'm telling you this so that you know, when you're feeling like, oh, I can miss one Sunday. Do you know what I'm trying to say? There's nothing wrong. I'll just take this. I'm just not going to go to that Bible study. I know I probably should. Kind of like what Gary was saying. You know, with that homeless guy, that illustration he used? That's probably the day. That's probably the time that you need to be there the most. And so again, this isn't a guilt or shame or anything like this. This is informational. This is something that I would like you to know, to carry on and to tell others. Because that is what the enemy tries to do. He does not want the word of God to be taught to you, to have that word of God in your heart, because that's the weapon we use against the devil and his demonic forces. So the less you, the more he can prevent you from getting this into here and here, the better he likes it. Does that make sense, guys? So remember that just for the future. And if you made it here today, God has a message for you. And I'm going to offer, George, help me to remember to make a bunch of copies for next week for the people who aren't here. But again, I don't know if they're going to take it. I don't know if they take it, if they'll listen to it. But I do know that God must have a message. And so we're going to start off. I'm going to go through some announcements, but we're going to start off in prayer. And we're going to ask the Holy Spirit for protection and for him to work and operate. Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord. Jesus, I do love you, Lord. And you are the one my heart adores. I so thank you for that, Lord. I ask that you would do more in my own heart. I ask that you would do more in the hearts of your people here, Lord God. I ask that you would strengthen them, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Root them in your word down deep so they're not blown around by every wind of doctrine, Lord, or every emotion that happens, Lord God. That they will be strong and stable, bearing fruit that will last 30, 60, and 100-fold, Lord God. Speak to them. Speak to us, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Speak to me. By the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, we ask you to be here during the rest of this service, Lord God. And we ask for all those people, Lord, who couldn't make it this Sunday, Lord God, that you would speak truths or these truths, even help them to listen to CDs or speak it some other way through the radio or teach. Just speak it into their hearts, into their lives, Lord God, so that they could be strengthened and draw near to you, Lord God. I pray for this blessing over this body, over this church, over this school, and everything that you have going on for the folks who are here today, and also for the folks that are not. We ask for your help and your Holy Spirit to speak to us and teach us today. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. 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 Okay, well, let me go through some of these announcements real quickly, and then we'll start right into the Word of God, because I think that's what he would have us to do today. Okay, so again, we've got literally, when I say lots of loaves of Panera bread, fresh, again, probably 50, 100 loaves. Please take as much as humanly possible. Bagels, loaves of bread, give them to your neighbors and be a good witness in Jesus' name. Take it all so I don't have to take any home as well. I do have to eat it. I still eat it. I still love it, but I still have to eat it. Again, tithes and offerings are received in the back in the little bird box in the hallway. We're very thankful for your giving. We want to ask you to pray for Robbie and Jonathan. We've known them for many years. Their kids were here at the sports camp. And so just this last week, and they work at InterVarsity. And so if you would just pray for them as they're going to be starting up here very soon. And they're witnessing to New College and to Ringling and to USF, just pray for them. Keep them in prayers. They're missionaries we support here. And also, don't forget to pray for Lester and Peggy, that everything would go smoothly, that they would be able to come back here to their home. We'll have pictures of the sports camp. It went very well. There's about 20 kids, I think, for CYIA and the sport camps. It was a great time. We'll try to have some pictures or a video next week. We have decided to do the pool baptism in August. We'll bring you a date next week on that. Continue to pray for them. Remember, there's nothing the enemy wants more than these people here not to be strengthened in the Lord and in the Word and not to grow. They need your prayers now more than ever because the enemy's out to get them. So pray for them. Please, look at them. Pray for them. Also, we'd like to invite you to come out Sunday mornings for prayer at 9 a.m. here at the church. Should I say that? Also, men's Bible study, is that this week, Gary? It's the fifth week or something?
Yeah, this Sunday we're
going to be building a ramp. Oh, okay. All right. The men are going to be building a ramp for somebody here in the church. Jim, okay. So if you are handy and you would like to help, contact Gary, and all the men are going to be helping with building a ramp for, I think, Jim and Marcia and Chalissa. Okay, so that's Tuesday. All right, women's Bible studies on the second and fourth Tuesdays. And I just want to say something. Ladies, if you haven't started going to this Bible study, please see Erica. I was here afterwards. They showed it for people who weren't here and they showed it after church on Sunday, and there was about, I think there was about five women who missed it, and they were watching it. I came in literally for about 60 seconds to collect the extra bread. And I remember walking out with a friend, and I was just saying, that was really good. And so sometimes you hear it all the time, like, you know, and that amazing. And sometimes you hear it so many times, you're like, yeah, oh, amazing, got it, whatever. I mean, I was thinking, you know, it was a women's Bible study. I should probably sit down. I could wear a wig. But honestly, it was really good. All right. Also, the Whosoever's Youth Group this week, we are going to the baseball game. Yes. Woo-hoo. And I don't know, how many tickets did we get? You can do whatever you want, Gary. Do you need a mic? Okay. You're so good, Gary. Thank you. Thank you. So come out. It's just really a relaxed time. It's a fun time just watching a baseball game and all being together. So we'd encourage you to come. That's at McKechnie Field. It's kind of over by our house by 7301 area. And we would love to have you come out and watch that semi-pro. Also, thank you for everybody who took part in the Forgotten God Bible study. If there's anybody who would like this book, and you would really, you feel like you missed the Bible study, you feel like a tug, you really missed it, you know what? Come see me afterwards. We want you to know more about him. We'd like to give you this book for free as a gift in Jesus' name. In fact, you know what? Because I'm always so busy afterwards, if anybody, if you'll read it now, if you'll read it, kids, I will give you this book in Jesus' name. Is there, oh, thank you, Mark. You got it, kid. Good for you. All right, is there anybody else? Just raise your hand. We'll give it to you as a gift in Jesus' name, free. We just want you to grow in the Lord. Just got to promise you read it. That's all. Okay, also, I don't have a slide up here, but next week, next Thursday, we're starting a course called Share Jesus Without Fear. It's a 4 or 5 week course, and it's how to share your faith. And it's we've gone through a lot of, there's a lot of classes and things like that that we've seen over the many years of being Christians. And this one is about, it's the simplest and it's one of the best, because really what it does, it just goes to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. There's no method, there's no format, there's no thing, you got to do these 8 steps. It's really simply presenting the Word of God. It's doing it in a way that is loving and kind and just presents the word. So listen, I want to encourage you, if you have not taken, I thought Gary took this course, and Gary's like, no, I haven't taken the course. I was like, Gary, what? So he's going to be up here. Yeah, you have taken other ones, absolutely, Gary. Not a slam in any way. But I want to encourage you, come out, learn how to share your faith simply but powerfully with the word of God and just trusting in prayer and the Holy Spirit. I absolutely guarantee you will love this course if you have a heart and you desire to share your faith and to step out of your comfort zone. So please, we're actually going to start this Thursday. Normally, I would give it a few weeks to announce it and to tell everybody about it. That's the logical way I would want to do it. But Gary and I both felt independently from the Lord that he wanted to start it this Thursday. Okay? So in my logical mind, that doesn't make sense. But when God tells us to do something, we want to do it. So this Thursday, be there, and we'll have a workbook for you. Thank you. What time indeed? Well, I'm so glad you asked me that question, Gary, so I can stall and figure it out on the fly. I think, what time was it? The other one? 6:30. Okay, why don't we start at 6:30? Okay, now listen, I would ask that you, does everybody have my phone number? Okay. If you do, if you would like to take this course, just send me a little text. I'd love to take the course, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring in a workbook for you. It's a small workbook. It's very, very simple. It's not like, you know, the Experiencing God one where you're, you know. It's just very light, but it's good. Okay? And we're also going to bring in a little Bible for you to share your faith. Mark, you have somebody say, Isabella, can you bring this mic to him? Not that he needs it, but thank you. Thank you. It'll go on once you put, now it's on.
Okay, I took this course, and it is without a doubt the most powerful course you can take on presenting the gospel. It is not one of these, you know, 15-week things, and here's this, and now blah, blah, blah. There's no blah, blah in this course.
Yeah.
It's straight up word of God.
Yes.
It's his power.
Yep.
It's his calling.
Yep.
It's all Jesus.
Yes. Absolutely. Well said, Mark. Thank you. So I'm going to encourage you to come out. Again, just text me, and I'll have a workbook for you ready and waiting. And please don't wait to text me till Thursday morning. Text me beforehand, like today or later on today, and I'll make sure that I get that workbook for you. Okay. Please also pray for Shepherd's Heart Christian School as we're starting up the new year. I think we've got about 35, 45 students. And so, And we're just so blessed by this school, and we're so blessed by all the people who are helping. And so we just want to encourage you guys just to pray. I can't even begin to tell you how many God things happen during the year. So please, please, please pray for the school. And also, a lot of our stuff, our soundboard, I wanted to even show you a video, but I couldn't show it to you today because that soundboard was still fried, and it's coming. It's being repaired, and it's coming back to us. So hopefully next week we'll be able to show that Share Jesus with Doctor video or something on the school. But anyway, pray for us if you would. Oh, George? Well, that'll make it nice and convenient for me. Lord, in Jesus' name we come against the enemy. In Jesus' name. Help even the technical things to work right. All right, well, while we're waiting for that, we'll just continue. We're going to open our Bibles to James chapter 4. Cuatro for our Spanish-speaking friends. Joe, would you please grab some Bibles right here in the corner, I think. If you would like a Bible, please grab one. Raise your hand, and Jolton and Joe will bring one right to you. We are in James chapter 4. Talking about war and peace. Oh, hey, look at that. Would you hit the lights just for a second for me? You're amazing. We were talking about, hey, what causes quarrels and fights among you? You remember that from James chapter 4, verse 1. Don't they come from the desires that battle within you? You want what you want, but you don't get it. You kill and covet. You quarrel and fight. And then you don't ask God, the Bible says. And then when you do ask God, you do it with the wrong motives, to spend it on yourself. And then it says he goes into saying, hey, you're being adulterous when you have this friendship, this love for the world and the world stuff. And he said, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. And then I think we left out in verse 6, if I remember correctly, where it says that in James chapter 4, where it says, God opposes the proud, antitazo, opposes. That means to set up in battlements against. Listen, if God put on some, what for boxing or MMA, what are they, 6-ounce, 8-ounce gloves? Yeah. Something like that. Listen, if God put on some six-ounce gloves to go against you, you would still lose completely. But this word, God opposes the proud, antitazo, means he sets up in battlements against you because he knows that pride is going to destroy your life. And so he desires to tear it down because God opposes the proud, but it says that he gives grace to the humble. And so we talked a lot about the power of humility, and I won't go through all the pride scripture verses. I'm going to scroll through those and get to where we are starting today. So give me just a second. All right. So now we're starting off in the next verses here, right after that in James chapter 4. verse 7. And God's going to give us a few things. Okay, he's talking about this. Hey, man, if you're all about self, I want what I want when I want it, and all this stuff. He's like, I'm going to give you some things. I'm going to give you about, I don't know, seven things that are going to help you to come near to the Lord. Seven things to help kill the flesh and fill the spirit. And so here's what he has to say. It says that he's going to pour grace, that he gives more grace in the verse right before that. In verse 6, he gives more grace. And that means the power and the unmerited favor of God. He'll give you that grace if you'll humble yourself. He's going to oppose you if you're proud, but he's going to fill you if you're humble. And then this is what he says, and I'm going to read some of these verses, and then we'll go through it. It says this. It says, submit yourselves to God. Excuse me. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. I don't know what we're going to get through, and so I kind of want to read the rest, but I'll start right here. You know, submission is not a word that we like. If your boss wants you to come in an extra day, you know, on a Saturday or a Sunday, and makes you do it, that does not feel good. Sometimes if your parents are making you do something, that doesn't feel good. Sometimes if your teachers are making you do something, that might not feel good. And what James is saying is folks, I want you to submit yourself to God. Now, you might not know it. Like, I would think, you know, before I got saved, I wouldn't submit to anybody. I was one rebellious dude. That's the truth. I would do anything. I would take a beating. I will not. It was a pride thing. You cannot break me. That was my spiel. But that was all pride. And here's the thing. I used to. I'm not submit to God. Yield to God. Why would I? I'm the master of my own ship. I'm the king of my own fate. I'm in charge here. I'm the king. I'm the Lord. Let me tell you something. You're going to serve somebody. You're going to be submitting to somebody. You're either going to be submitting to the world, the flesh, and the devil, which is all going the opposite way, or you're going to submit to God. If you don't think, hey, I'm not a slave to anybody, I'm not a slave to sin, if you don't yield to Jesus, yes, you are. Well, I'm not going to, I don't submit to anybody. Well, if you don't submit to Jesus, let me tell you, you are submitting to Satan, the world, and his ways, and your flesh. You just don't realize it. Charles Spurgeon said this. He was a great preacher in the older days. He said, I desire to whisper one little truth in your ear, and I pray that it may startle you. You are submitting even now. You say, not I, I'm the Lord myself. I know you think so, but all the while you are submitting to the devil. The verse before us hints at this. Submit yourselves unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you do not submit to God, you will never resist the devil, and you will remain constantly under his tyrannical power. Which shall be your master, God or the devil? For one of these must be. No man is without a master. And that's true. Now listen, if you don't want to hear an old-timey preacher like Charles Spurgeon, here's a singer-songwriter, rocker, Bob Dylan, who said, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. And that's absolutely true. Now listen, when I think of submission, my dad was an artillery sergeant. And so, again, what I tell you, when I think of submission, this is what comes to mind, right? Ah, blah, 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 blah. But in Christ, actually, the Bible talks a lot about submission, about yielding. Okay? Listen, it's this. Here's some words, and we don't like this as without Jesus, but just hear me out here. Okay? The Bible says that we're, as a couple, as husband and wife, to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ in Ephesians 5:21. It says that, I got cut off there. In 1 Peter, I think, 5:5 roughly. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. 1 Peter 2:13 to 14, for the Lord's sake, submit to human authority, whether the king as head of state or the officials he's appointed. For the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. In the church, in Hebrews 13:4, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. For that would be of no advantage to you. Now, I've seen a lot of people misuse those verses to manipulate people, and that's, of course, terrible. But there's implied in submission is having a humble heart. Do you know what I'm saying? You can't have that strength under control. You can't have that meekness, right, unless you're humble. And again, meekness isn't weakness. It is power and strength under control. You can leave that on for just a second, Chris, so my old eyes, or my a little bit older eyes can see. When it says here, submit yourselves then to God, that's the first thing we need to do. If we want to see God's blessing, if we want to see God work, if we want to see God's grace and his power in our life, the very first thing we must do is to submit ourselves to God. And that's bend the knee to him. That word in Greek, hupotazo, it's a military term in the Greek. And what it means is to file under rank or order of the leader, of the commander. So picture it this way, a king, okay, and your king is going to give you instructions, okay? And you know what? I'm going to bend the knee, and I'm going to serve the king. That's how they used it in the Greek military. Now, or the general or whatever. Now, for us, it's that we bend our knee to the Lord. The word in Greek, hupotazo, okay, it basically means, in a non-military sense, it also means like to voluntarily give in, to cooperate. That's in the non-military way that it's used. So God's trying to say to you, I want you to yield to the Lord. I want you to submit to God and to his word. I love what John Stott said. It says, the Spirit of God will lead the people of God to submit to the word of God. Listen, sometimes we approach the word of God or what God has to say like we're going to McDonald's. Okay, like we're picking off the menu. Lord, I'll have some grace and some mercy, large order of the grace, large order of the mercy. I don't really want anything to do with not lusting. I don't want anything to do with, anger. We can't pick and choose what promises we want to obey. We have to yield to all of them. We have to submit to all of them. Does that make sense, guys? If you want to see God's power in your life, then the very first thing God's saying you have to do is you have to submit to him. And that's willingly yield. It's willingly. See, God's not a mean, terrible God. He's not going to make you do something. He won't force you. He's not going to put you in a full Nelson and say, obey me. No, he's a loving dad. He's a loving king. It's great to see you. He's a loving king. He's a loving dad. That's who he is. And so when he's saying submit yourselves then to God, I want you to picture a benevolent king, a loving father. Like sometimes it would be good to resist and to not submit against a tyrannical leader, wouldn't it? You know how many, I ministered to a lot of kids over many years. I've watched many kids, oh, it's terrible, you know, just physically, dad will come home drunk and beat them, you know, resist, beat the family, or sexual things, terrible, terrible, terrible things over and over. And man, oh, it's a terrible thing. But we don't have that. We have a good father. We have a loving father. We have a caring father. And so to submit to him, we have a father that has our best interest at heart. He's looking out for you. He's trying to protect you. He's saying, what can I do to help you? He knows that this pride or whatever it is, your self-centered ways, is going to kill you. And so he's saying, listen, I want you to submit to me so I can fill you with my grace and my power so that you could have joy, you could have victory in your life, so you don't keep going around and round on the hamster wheel. He's a good dad. He's a loving dad. He's a caring father. It's who he is. It almost makes me think of that song. You know that song? He's a good, good father. He is. That's exactly who he is. He's a good dad. The Bible says this also when we talk about hupotazo, or to submit. You know, I like how the new NIV puts this particular verse. This is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. That's true. As you bend the knee to him, he will take care of everything. He will put everything in order. If you don't submit to him, you don't get to see all the blessings. Yes.
Is that what they're saying, all? in all things, I can just say, well, some things?
I would love it if it did say that, Mark. If it did say, you know, to be honest, my flesh would love that. Or if it would said, trust in the Lord with some of your heart. But it doesn't. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means jump in with both feet. I'm just going to trust you. I don't see how this is going to work out, Lord, at my job, with my finances and my relationship. You know, I don't see, but you can trust him because he's going to work it out every time in the long run for you. I guarantee it. As you trust in him, that's when he empowers you. Listen, submitting to God is not like a duty to be detested. Oh, I got to submit. Oh, this Bible, all these rules and regulations, I hate it. It ruins my fun. He's not saying that. Submitting to God is a loving response to our loving Father whom we know and trust. Now, here's one thing. You're not going to trust him if you don't get to know him. And you're not going to get to know him if you don't take the time. I want to encourage you. You should be reading the New Testament every single day. And this is not a guilt thing. Just read it for yourself every time. Pray, Lord, will you speak something to me? I'll give you, if you want, we'll give you audio teachings. You can put on your phone, Bible apps. We'll give you CDs. We'll give you whatever you want. Teaching through any book of the Bible. Pick one, and we will give you those teachings. And you can listen to them on your CD, on your way and driving in the car, whatever it is. Go to some of these Bible studies, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday. I would have more, maybe experiencing God Saturday coming up here in about another month or so. You know, it just, that's what we want to do. Listen, it's not this duty. Don't think of it that way. It's a loving dad who's trying to save you a lot of pain and trying to give you a lot of power and encouragement. 1 John 5:3, I love how the New Living Translation says this. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. They're there to help you. They really are. They're not there to squash your fun. They're there to help you. So the first thing we need to do, right? First thing we need to do, the Bible says, is to submit to God. That's in verse 7. And then it says, as part of that verse, submit yourselves then to God. And then it says, to resist the devil, and he will what? Resist the devil, and he will flee. I want you to notice the order in verse 7. And it's really important. First, it says in the Bible here, it says, submit yourselves to God. If you want to see his grace and his power, submit yourself unto God. And I think the order is important. Then it says, resist the devil and having him flee. Why? Well, let me ask you a question. Why? Why do you think that is? Honestly. I'm so sorry. Isabel Poresmo, do you mind? I'm so sorry. I'm used to soap to that. I just want everybody to be able to hear you. But why do you think we have to submit to God first? Why can't we just resist the devil?
Well, because we don't have enough strength in our own power.
That's true. Listen, you know, I sometimes, depending on what circles you come from, Satan, I just kick you in the face and I spit on you and I smack you upside the head with a 2x4 and I... Listen, we have authority. I don't want to make anybody... We have authority in Jesus. We have power in Jesus, not in yourself. If you try to resist the devil on your own, you're going to be trapped in that sin forever. The strength, the power comes from the Lord. Do you understand that? You may be the strongest guy here. You may be the strongest lady here. If you're trying to resist it without submitting to the Lord first, you will get nothing. All the strength, all the power comes from him. In Jude, it says, Michael, the archangel didn't even rebuke Satan. He just said, hey, the Lord rebuke you. He knows where the power comes from. You get it? This is Michael the archangel. The Lord rebuke you. Boom. In Jesus' name we pray. Boom. That's where the power comes from. That's where the strength comes from. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, and if you could hit the lights for a minute there, Christopher. Go a few pages back to the left, I think. At least that's how it is in my Bible. Some pages back after, let's see, go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Ephesians chapter 6. Listen, whether you realize it or not, when it says submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee, okay? You're in a spiritual battle, whether you believe it or not. In Ephesians chapter 6, it talks a lot about this, but I'm just going to read you. One second to get there. My poor Bible is falling apart. So every time I turn the page, I lose it. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Okay? Okay, this is how he's telling you about spiritual warfare. He says, this is his last thing in Ephesians. Paul's writing to the church at Ephesians about spiritual warfare, about these things. He says, finally, he's writing to brothers and sisters in Christ, those who have given their hearts over to Jesus Christ. He says, finally, I want you to be strong in who? It doesn't say, brothers, I want you to be strong in yourselves now. He doesn't say that. He says, I want you to be strong in the Lord. The word be in that verse right there, finally be strong in the Lord, the word be strong in the Greek is in, endanamao, and it's one word, and it means to empower, it means to enable, it means to receive strength or to make strong. In other words, he's not telling you to buck up little camper and fight it off. He's saying receive the strength. He's saying receive the empowerment in the Lord. That's his first thing. Be strong in the Lord and in whose mighty power? His. Right. Then he talks about putting on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. Because he says our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers and against authorities in this dark world and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. That struggle, that wrestling match, that parley in the Greek, that's a one-on-one match. And he wants us to resist the devil and flee, and he will flee. And I want you to just remember some of these things. Other than that, Ephesians, you can stay in Ephesians for a second because I'm going to read the armor of God. But Psalm 18:32 says, it is God who arms me with strength. It's him. It comes from him. It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. Psalm 18:32. 1 John 4:4 says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. That's the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say, cast out the devil and he'll flee from you. It says resist him. That word in Greek, when it says resist the devil, that means to oppose. That means to stand firm against. So what you're doing, what God is telling us to do, is to stand firm. Don't weaken. We get tired and, okay, Lord, fill me with your strength, because I can't do this without you. So I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to resist. I'm going to oppose the enemy, and he'll flee. That's what he says. If we submit to God and then resist the devil, and he'll flee. Now, here's a couple verses, too. Because, like, I'm a practical guy, and I'm like, well, how do I resist the devil when he's coming at me? Because in Ephesians chapter 6, it says that he is scheming against you. The word is like a schematic. It's like he's trying to make a plan to trick you. He's trying to take you down. He's making it plan. You're different than he is. He's trying to take you down a different way. Whatever it is, he's trying to keep you. I don't want you to get strong in the Lord. I don't want you to grow, he's thinking. How do I stop them from coming to church? How do I stop them from going to a Bible study? How do I stop them from becoming strong in the Lord? How do I do this? How can I figure it out? He is actively scheming against you. That's a reality. That's not like a fantasy book. That's a reality. I'm telling you, realize that you have, once you are in Christ, well, even before you're in Christ, before you're in Christ, he doesn't want you to accept Christ. Once you're in Christ, he wants to do everything he can so that you don't grow. So when I think about that, here's some, how do I practically resist the devil? Okay? How do I practically resist the devil? Here are a couple things. All right? I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 6 where I just was, so if you're still there, good for you. It says, I'm going to put on the armor of God. Now listen, when we talk about the spiritual armor of God, some people will pray these things. You know, Lord, I put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. And if you do that, that's a good reminder for you. There's nothing wrong with doing that. But for me, I want to keep the armor on all the time, because I'm in a battle continually. Do you know what I'm saying? So if you want to pray it every morning or every, you can do that. Or I just want to keep it on all the time. And here's what I mean by that. He says to put on the armor of God. I'm going to put it on and keep it on. He says, this is in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. It says, put on the full armor of God. It says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil, not if, when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, stand. He says in verse 14 of Ephesians 6, I want you to stand firm then, Christian, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Listen, everything, Jesus is the truth. He's surrounding you. It says that his word is truth. Everything, it says the Holy Spirit is truth. Truth is everything about God. So that surrounds you. All the other weapons, the sword, the breastplate, they all hook into that belt of truth. So that means no matter what, God, help me to be truthful, help me to be real. I don't want to be that fake hypocrite. Do you know what I'm saying? I want to be true. Even when I screw up, I want to admit it. So that belt of truth buckled around your waist. And then with the breastplate of righteousness, that's the righteousness of Christ and the righteousness, that protection over my heart, right? Just like you see this breastplate of righteousness, it goes all the way around. He was being guarded by a Roman soldier. Paul was in Ephesians chapter 6. That breastplate goes all the way around your body. Okay? And it's guarding the vital organs and the heart. That breastplate, Christ is my righteousness. Not only that, but it also comes from living a righteous life through Christ Jesus my Lord. That's my protection. That's my defense. It's an armor against the enemy. He goes on to say, Verse 15, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. I have the shoes somewhere back there, but they're fitted with nails. And those soldiers would wear those nailed shoes, and that way when the enemy would come at them, they would be able to stand firm, boom, and they would be unmovable because they would dig their heels in with the gospel, with the word of God. It goes on to say, in addition to all this, it says, take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the wicked one. Look at the size of this shield. This isn't some little gladiator, rinky-dink, wimpy shield. This is a huge shield. Okay, you would be able to cover your whole body with that. None of those flaming arrows would be able to, that the enemy's shooting at you. By faith, right? We hold that up. And then lastly, it says, well, not lastly, but last couple. It says, I want you to take the helmet of salvation, all right? Listen, whenever an immature believer or whenever the enemy attacks, I don't know if I'm saved. You know, maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm getting attacked like this because I'm not saved. Look, secure that salvation. If you don't know it, then you confess it to God. Lord, I am a sinner. Have you ever done that? Have you ever just gone to him? Lord, I am a total sinner. I need you. I know I need. Will you come into my heart and life? Will you give me that power and grace that I need? I can't do it without you. I'm not good enough. I know it. I know you died on the cross. I know you rose again from the dead for me. Will you come into my life? Help me to live for you, Jesus, the rest of my life. And then you know what? If you really mean that and that's your heart cry to him, you're saved. You don't have to go back and think about it 1 million times. Now, if the Holy Spirit maybe convicts you, examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith, if there's no fruit that ever comes from your life, well, then maybe you should. But other than that, you got it secured. It's buckled on. And then lastly, besides the helmet of salvation, it says, I want you to take the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. Look, this is how you attack the enemy, with the sword, right? Listen, now if you had all this armor, that's nice. But you can't do any attacking. Do you know what I'm saying? God wants you armed with the word of God. This is where you'll do battle. So if he's coming at you and saying, you know what? You're a loser. God never liked you. There's nothing special about you. You come back with the word. No, I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. You get the idea. I'm going to use this sword again because it's cool. I'll find a place to use it. The second thing is, so the first, how do we practically resist it? Oh, put on that full armor of God. You know, make sure, read it over yourself. Go home, read it over again. Do I have these things? How can I increase, Lord, increase my faith? How can I increase my knowledge of the word? Maybe I will go to that Bible study. Maybe I will spend a little bit extra time in your word. Maybe I'll take them up on some of those things and listen to the word in the car or listen to Bible. Maybe I'll do that. What else can we do? Well, praise God. Oh, I can't be going this quickly. Praise God is the second thing. If you read Psalm 150, you know, it says, it talks all about, I'll praise him with this, I'll praise him with this. It says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Listen, you just thank him and praise him if you're going through the worst, most terrible time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that I have breath, okay? I can thank you for nothing else, right? Thank you that I have breath. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you saved me. Thank you that you care about me. Listen, there's lots of things that we can thank him for. Praise him. Thank him. Don't let the enemy get in your head and stay there. You purposely offer a sacrifice of praise. Hebrews 13:15 is another one. We don't have time to go through all these. But Hebrews 13:15, it says that we are to continually offer a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving through Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for this. Thank you, that. Thank you, Lord. Now, the devil doesn't want you thanking the Lord continually. Does he? Absolutely not. If you're there thanking him, that means your focus is on him and not on yourself or on the devil. Do you get it? So that's a practical way. Praise him. Thank him. There's a story in 2 Chronicles 20. That I absolutely love. It was King Jehoshaphat. And he was the ruler of Judah at the time. And all these surrounding countries came at him. The Ammonites, the Moabites, the Edomites, termites. Anyway, all these ites came at him. And it was an overwhelming force. And it says that they knew they were going to be defeated. And so they stopped and they just all, everybody, they put on sackcloth and started to pray. And it started to pray. And then a prophet, you know, said, hey, I'm even going to read it to you. I'm just going to read you this portion because I love it. It's one of my favorites. And I don't want to mess it up. 2 Chronicles 20. And the prophet said this, because they're like, oh, we have, they're saying, we have no power to face this vast army that's attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And sometimes I feel that way. Sometimes I feel like there's so much pressure, so much attack. I don't know what to do. I don't have the power, but Lord, my eyes are on you, and I'm going to trust in you. Lord, I'm going to trust in you. And that's what they were saying to the Lord. And in 2 Chronicles 20, in verse 15 or 16, it says, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Do you guys see the big difference? Who's really battling here? Is it your battle? It could be if you're taking it all on yourself, or when you give it over to him, when you yield, when you submit to God, it's his. Do you see the difference? When you surrender to God, you get victory over the devil. Make sense? Okay, all right. He goes on to say, you will not have to fight this battle. This is in 1 Chronicles. Take up your positions. He's not just saying sit on your hands. Take up your positions. Stand firm. See the deliverance that the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face the enemy tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. And what happened is they did that, and it said, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat, the king, appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness, and they went out ahead of the army. Now, does that make sense? Think about this. All this army is coming at you. So we have a bunch of people surrounding this church, right? And they're out to, well, of course, that's going to sound cultish or weird. Anyway, the bottom line is, and I sent out Nate Weaver and the worship team, and they're just praising the Lord. You know what I'm saying? And so they send out the worship team. I'm sure the warrior's got to be going, what? And the worship team, this is so cool. In 2 Chronicles 20, this is in verse 22. Listen to this. It says, as they began to sing in praise, the Lord set ambushes for the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, Edomites, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Listen, you can't think of anything else to do or say. Praise the Lord. Sing to him. Put on some worship music. Let it rain in the background. It says that Satan's the prince of the power of the air. Let's see. If they're attacking you, if they're giving you a hard time, those demonic forces, you put on some real worship. You put it in the house, even if you put it on low, you'd let it echo in the background. Booyah. Let me see, if there is some demonic forces attacking you, they don't want to hear worship of the Lord. You want to make things miserable for you? Let me turn up the volume, baby. I'm going to make it miserable twice as much for you. Does that make sense? These are practical ways. Okay, so practical ways to resist the devil. Put on the full armor of God. Praise God. Number three, pray to Jesus and for others and ask for prayer. There's so much I could go over all these scripture verses. I do not have time. But listen, you can pray to Jesus. Hebrews 4:16 says we can come boldly before the throne of grace. Because he's got his Holy Spirit in you, because of Jesus, you can come and ask him anytime you want. You don't have to, oh, I can't pray right now. I feel too terrible. Yes, you can. Pray. Not just pray to Jesus for these things. At 1 Timothy 2:1 and 2 says, I want you to make prayer requests for everybody and to pray for others. And pray for others, the Bible says. In Colossians 4, verse 12, there's a guy by the name of Epaphras. And it says that he was, when he's writing the Colossian church, Paul says, there's a guy by the name of Epaphras and he is interceding for you. He's wrestling in prayer for you guys. So you know what? Pray for one another. Isabella needs prayer. Mark needs prayer. Jay needs prayer. Anthony needs prayer. Heidi needs prayer. I need prayer. Erica needs prayer. Stanley needs prayer. You get the idea? Pray for others and then ask for prayer. Don't let pride stop you from asking for prayer. It usually does. I didn't want to ask for prayer. I thought you'd be too big. No! Ask somebody, will you pray for me? And you know what? If they're not mature enough to say, yeah, I'd love to, then just grab somebody else. Will you pray for me? Ask. There's power in prayer. We'll talk about that in the next chapter. Oh, by the way, after that armor of God in Ephesians 6, the last thing Paul says after you put on all that armor is to pray in the Spirit. Anyway, I'll stop there. Also, pronounce the word of God. The Bible says we don't wage war in the same way as the world does. We take every thought captive. We make it obedient to Christ. We fight spiritual battles. And so speak the word. Read it when you can. Ask, get it in your heart, not just for knowledge, but Lord, for make it a part of who I am, a part of my life. If you remember in Matthew 4, there was a time when Satan was tempting Jesus. You remember that? He was out in the wilderness, Jesus. You guys all remember that story? And he came at Jesus and tempted him three times, even used the word of God to twist it, and Jesus came back three times with the word of God. So like I was saying, whenever you have the enemy using that, here's my opportunity. You remember, I can't do this, Lord. I can't do it. I know you want me to be strong. Oh, wait, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength double. You be quiet. You get it? I'm a worm. I'm a jerk. No, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. But you cannot do any attacking if you don't know the word for yourself. I know I sound like a little bit like a broken record up here, but it is so powerful. If you do not get this one thing, you will always be weak. God doesn't want you to be weak. He wants you to be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. So whenever Satan attacks you with anything, you respond with the word of God. Not your emotions, not your feelings, not anything else, the word. Capiche? All right. Sorry, I'm gonna... Let me tell you something else. All right, I saw a hand. Yes, we'll bring you the mic. I'll play with the sword for another minute. Cause it's, again, very cool.
You know, it says, read the word of God and speak the word. Psalm 50:15, and talk about a broken record. I've said this before. But that's the emergency phone number, and it's never busy. It says, call on me in your time of trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory. So that's when we call on him to rescue us, and we just start giving glory to God, and the enemy will then flee.
Yes. Somebody's, if there's bringing in discouragement, you can always respond with the word every time. And then lastly, persevere in Christ. Look, we talked about it. If you go back in James, just a couple verses, you know, stand firm, not in yourself, but in the Lord. Chris, can you hit that light for me just for 1 second? In James chapter 1, just a few verses, 2-4. The Bible says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials. Whenever. Not if ever. Whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops what? Perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That's what God wants for you. So even the resisting, even the standing on the word, the praying, the praise, the persevering, all that is going to strengthen you so that you may become mature and complete, not lacking anything. Amen? Listen, just so you know, if you're sitting here and you're a Christian, I want you to know that Satan and his demons are already ultimately defeated at the cross by the blood of Jesus. Do you understand that? Okay. Jesus already destroyed the works of the devil there. You don't have to worry about it. Through Jesus, you have the power and the resources in the Lord. Help me, Lord. Empower me to obey you here. Help me, Jesus. You have the power and resources to not only resist, but overcome the devil and his demonic forces. Because of Jesus, we have victory over sin and Satan. So really, we do not fight for victory, we fight from victory. There's a big difference. Capiche? Don't want to change the amens to capiche. Sorry, it's Italian, pardon me. All right. Oh, and you know what? I'm going to say one more thing. Okay, when it says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you, can I tell you something? He's going to come at you again. It's not a one-time thing. He's going to hit you again and again and again. What? In different ways, too. Absolutely. It says in Luke 4:13 that when after Satan tempted Jesus, it says he left him for an opportune time. He was looking for another time to do that, waiting. That's what he's doing. But you can be strong in the Lord and his mighty power whenever he comes. All right. Verse 8 then says, after number 1, submit yourselves to God. Number 2, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Number 3 is, come near to God and he will come near to you. I like that. That verse 8 is both an invitation in James chapter 4, verse 8. It's both an invitation and a promise. Listen, God doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't need us. Do you know what I'm trying to say? He loves us. He wants a relationship with us. He's saying, I want you to come to me. He's inviting you to be a part of his life. He wants to be in relationship with you. That's amazing to me. The King of the universe is saying, listen, Ray, I just love you so much. I want you to come to me. I want to help you. I want to empower you. I want you to know me. That's incredible to me. We serve an inviting God. He's saying, if you want to resist the devil, then come to me. He invites us all the time. Listen, Jesus is saying this to you and me. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Listen, come to Jesus. He's inviting you. He wants to hang out with you. You just got to do it. John 6:35, again, he's saying, come to me. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty again. That's amazing. In Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. It said, whoever, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. That's an inviting God, and he's also a God of promise. It's an invitation, a promise, both in that statement in James. He says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. So if you will do that, if you'll take the time and draw near to him, listen, sometimes we have to make the time. Isn't that true? We never have enough time. At least I don't. I don't know if that's true with everybody. We have to make the time, don't we? But if you will do that, if you will come near, then here's the promise. It says he will also, if you'll draw near to him, he will draw near to you. He's not going to make you come. He's not going to make you come to him, and he's not going to make you. But if you will do that, you get a promise. That means he'll draw near to you. Joshua 23:14 says, you know, as you look back on your life, as you look back, gosh, you know, Lord, whenever I have come to you, you know, you've never cast me away. You've never turned me away. And I look throughout my life, you know, the road to my life. I'm like Joshua 23:14. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one of them has failed. So if you will draw near to God, if you will take the time and make the time, he will draw near to you. That's what he promises. And he says, wash your hands, you sinners. And that word just means like hardened sinners. Wash your hands and purify your hearts. It's those are like Old Testament terms. Like when you would come near to God, you would almost like cleanse yourselves. you know, of that sin, that selfishness, and washing your hands. Like, Gary, I think when you went to the wall, they had that baptism. You had to wash your hands. I don't know if you did that. The Jews do that there. And they wash their hands, and it's almost like symbolic before cleansing yourself before that you come to God. But he wants us to be repentant. He says, do that, you double-minded. And I thought that was kind of hard. He says, come near to me, and I'll come near. Wash your hands, and you sinners, purify your hearts, you double-minded. So remember, he's talking about those who are loving the world and stuff. There's another verse in James that uses the same word. It's in James 1:8. Where he says here, a double-minded man is unstable in all he does. And when I read James 1:8, that double-minded is dipsikos. And it's really two words, dis or dips. It means twice, and sukos means soul. So a double-minded person is a divided loyalties, two loyalties. It actually literally means where we get our word psychology, suke, the soul. It means two-souled. It means your heart's in two places. So when it says, hey, if you're being double-minded, like a double-minded man is unstable, he's like, you've got two souls. You're really, your whole heart is longing after two separate things. One's the world and one's the Lord. And if you're going to do that, you're never going to make it. Because you're going to be unstable in all your ways. And that word unstable in Greek, akatastatos, if I remember correctly, it means unstable. I don't want to say if you're drunk. If you've ever seen a drunk person, okay, somebody who's staggering, let me just tell you this. Or if you've seen a police officer, for a DUI, I don't know if they do this anymore, because now they have breathalyzers, but they used to make you walk in a straight line. And if you're smash drunk, you can focus as much as you can, and you can't keep your balance. No matter what you do, you can't walk a straight line. If you're double-minded, if you're two-souled, if your heart's for Jesus, you're going to be unstable in all you do. God doesn't want that for you. He doesn't want you to be walking around staggering. Honestly, when you've watched a drunk person, or if you've been there, I got saved later in my life, you can focus as much as you want. You can concentrate, muster up all the energy, and I'm going to be walking straight towards you, and I'm going to go into the wall. A double-minded man, a double-souled person, you're going to be unstable in all you do. God doesn't want that for you. Okay, give me 5 more minutes. He says in verse 9 of James 4, he says, grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. So obviously, they were probably taking the things of the world and their sin pretty lively. Yeah, Pastor. I remember one guy, I love this guy. Yeah, sometimes you just got to get drunk. Yeah, Lord. Yeah, Pastor, I really needed just to get totally wasted. No, you didn't, dude. No, you didn't. You're going to be unstable in all you do, dude. Listen,
I was just got wasted, Pastor. You know how it is.
No, dude, no. You know, change that laughter to mourning. Listen, if you can look at your sin and be like, it's no big deal, something is wrong.
Well, everybody's doing it.
No, that's not true.
Well, everybody.
Listen, if you can look at your sin and laugh it off, something is the matter with your heart. Not attacking you. I'm just saying there's something wrong. Search me, O God. See if there's any wicked way. Change that laughter and that joking around and mourn over it. Grieve over it. You're hurting God's heart. Do you know you could grieve the Holy Spirit, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? I can make him sad by my actions, by my heart motivations. I can make him grieve Oh, my goodness. He loves me that much. If you're a dad, you know when you have a kid doing the wrong thing, oh, my goodness, your heart is like, rip. God feels that way about you. So grieve. Listen, if you'll do that, that's what repentance is. Not the grieving part, but being sorrowful for your sin. Whenever there was a revival and you see these people and they're all joyful, it's after the repentance because they've been broken before the Lord. Usually you will see tears. Last week there was somebody, multiple people who were crying and God was just working in their heart. And that's a good thing. I'm sorry I'm crying. I'm sorry I'm crying, Pastor. Yeah, it's okay, buddy. It's all right. I'm sorry. That's great. That means God's working in your heart. That means you're sorrowful for your sin. I'd be more concerned if you're like, I don't see what's the big deal, Pastor. Well, it's not like I'm, you know. You're setting yourself up for failure. Grieve, mourn, and wail. God loves a contrite heart. That means a heart that's sorrowful, repentant. Psalm 51:6, you can hit the light just for a second. Psalm 51:16 and 17 is in the Living Bible says, hey, you don't want sacrifice or penance. If you did, how gladly I would do it. You aren't interested in offering burnt offerings before you on the altar. It's a broken spirit you want. A remorse, penitence, a broken and contrite heart, oh God, you will not ignore. When we're sorrowful for our sins, in Nehemiah 8, tells a story where they start preaching the word of God to people, right? And all the people, and it says that they start telling them what the word of God means. And they start getting the understanding in Nehemiah chapter 8. They're preaching the word, they're getting the understanding, and it says everybody starts crying and weeping because they realize, oh my God, we're not really living for him. We're living for ourselves, and they start weeping. And then the pastors have to go out there and say, the Levites, they came out and they said, listen, it's a good thing you're doing that. But now, change your hearts. Change from mourning and grieving and be joyful. Let's feast because the word of God is having an effect in your heart. You're understanding it and you want to live for the Lord. And it says that they started rejoicing and then sharing the word with everybody. Woohoo! That's what the Lord wants. A repentant heart, not a remorseful heart. A repentant means a change of mind, a change of heart, change of direction. It doesn't mean I'm just sorry and then I keep going in the same bad direction. It means I'm so sorry, and you know what? I'm sorry enough to do something about it. I'm not going to go this way anymore. Lord, help me. Help me do whatever it takes in my life to go this way and to follow you. Does that make sense? And then the very last thing, it says, in verse 10, I guess I am going to stop here. It says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he'll lift you up. Listen, you guys know this verse, I'm sure. Micah 6:8 says, he has shown you, O man or woman, it just means, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to what? Walk humbly with your God. For this is in Isaiah 57:15. It says, this is what the high and exalted one says. He who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but I also live with those who are contrite. That means repentant, sorrowful in spirit, and humble in spirit. To revive the spirit of the lowly and revive the heart of the contrite. God says, listen, if you'll humble your heart before me, repent over your sin. He's like, I live in a high and holy place, but I love you so much. I'm going to be right there with you. I'm going to live with you because I'm going to revive your heart. Or some of us for the first time, I'm going to revive it. I'm going to revive your heart. I live in the high and holy place, but also with you. If you have, are you humble in spirit? If you'll humble yourself before me, and draw near to me, resist. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be with you. I love that. Or Isaiah 66:2. Maybe I should have used the other. Anyway, it says, has not my hand made all things? And so they came into being, declares the Lord. These are the ones I look on with favor. Do you want to know who God himself looks on with favor? Here it is. Those who are really good talkers, rich. Does it say that? Does it say have lots of money or have lots of prestige? Or what does it say? It says, I look on favor with those who are what? Humble and contrite in spirit. And who what? Tremble at my word. Is that you? If that's me. If that's not you, then allow the Holy Spirit of God to say, hey, I don't really tremble at your word. I don't even really bother reading it. You can change that right today. Right now. Right today. And you can be a man or woman and say, God, please do whatever it takes to have me to be a humble man or a humble woman before you. Help me to have a contrite heart, a repentant heart. Help me, Lord, to be the man that trembles at your word, that I'll do whatever it takes. How I would love to see more men and women like that. I'll do whatever it takes, Lord. Help me to bow. Give me your power to resist the devil because I know he'll flee. Make me into that kind of man. Make me into that kind of woman. Woman. Well, not me personally, but you know what I mean. I think that's okay. I'm going to leave it there. Leave it there. Let's take a minute and let's pray. Father, I just pray right now in Jesus' name that you would give every person here a yielding heart to you, not to the church, not to me necessarily, but to you, Lord, that they would bow before your heart and your word, that they wouldn't listen to anyone else but you, your Holy Spirit, and your precious word, Lord. I pray, Lord, that they would draw near to you as I know you'll draw near to them. I pray that they would resist the devil, Lord, because I know he'll flee, Lord, flee. And I pray that they would humble themselves before you, that they'd turn any laughter about their sin into mourning, Lord, and repent before you. I pray in Jesus' name that you would empower them with your grace, that they would stand and rely in the Lord and in your mighty power, that they would choose this day who they're going to serve, Lord God. As for me and my house, I want to serve the Lord. And I pray that everyone hearing my voice will just say in their own heart, I can't control anybody else, but for me in this house, right here, I'm going to serve the Lord. Help me to do that with humility and with honor to you, Lord. I bless you and I love you and I pray your blessing on this group and this body. Lord, bring folks out to help on Tuesday with the men's group, with the ramp that they're building for Jim, Lord God. Help all the folks just to have a good time of fellowship at Wednesday at the game, Lord, and bring out whoever you want to bring out to the Share Jesus Without Fear. Put it on their hearts, Lord. Help them to come. Help them to text. Help them just to make time to do that. Bless these people. You know who aren't here and who is and who needs your help, Lord. Minister to them, Lord. Pour out your grace. Pour out your power. Pour out your love. Pour out your whatever it is that they need, Lord, would you meet their needs? You are Jehovah Jireh, their great provider, Lord God. Do that in a real tangible way. Even now, in Jesus Christ's name, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day in Jesus' name.